This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to The Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team today. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, longtime friend of the show, it's Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. What's up, Steve? What's up, Sandsy?
Man, I hear you guys playing that Springsteen 10th Avenue Freeze Out.
Yeah.
Can't we all get back to normal at some point and get to a concert and go see Bruce and the E Street Band rock and roll?
That's a gap in my concert resume throughout my life. Yeah, I've never seen the Both live.
Oh, yep.
I need to do that.
The only time I saw the Both live was at the Super Bowl in Tampa when he was the halftime show.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you
but
need
I don't
to
think
get
that
to a Springsteen show if he ever plays again, you need to get to a Springsteen show.
Yeah, hey, I don't think the halftime show counts. You have to be there for the whole thing.
No, I'm just saying that was the only time I saw him live.
Yeah.
All right, so I know you were in Augusta over the weekend because you guys were covering the U.S. Women's AM. All right, so
yeah.
How long have you been in Augusta? When did you get there?
That's the Augusta National Women's Amateur, by the way.
Augusta National.
U.S. Women's AM.
I'm sorry.
U.S. Women's AM, totally different.
No, okay,
no.
Augusta
don't
National.
Don't mess that here at Augusta. They'll take your credential away.
Right.
We got in here on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we had to test for COVID. There was a 24-hour waiting period where we weren't allowed to do anything until we got the results back. But I got here on Wednesday morning, first thing in the morning Wednesday.
Got you. All right, so you're going to be there a while. It's amazing that we're talking about the Masters again for the second time in 6 months. Place looks amazing, as it always does in April. And I was just thinking about Jordan Spieth, and I want to get your take on him because he's obviously played so much better since January, starting with Phoenix. He was so good there. He's had a bunch of top fives. Just, didn't put it together on the weekend, but he did at the Valero. And, he's now one of the top three favorites at the Masters. If you look at the numbers, he's currently at about 10-1. And if you would have, looked at the odds for the Masters, I don't know, 2 months ago, he wouldn't have been close to 10-1. But he has really put it together. Give me your thoughts on Jordan.
Oh, I think Jordan is definitely one of the top three or four guys to look at this week. He's been trending in the right direction, as you said. He finally closed the deal on Sunday in San Antonio. And it was big. It was a really, really big win for him. It's one thing to play well, see some good results. And it's another thing when you are someone who is used to winning and hasn't done it in a while to get to the finish line and close out a tournament, knowing you have the shots. You can have all the confidence in the world and bring it to the golf course. But if you don't execute those shots under pressure, when everybody is staring at you and you are the guy to beat, it's hard, to get through that. And that win on Sunday, which was a big, big spot for Jordan. Now, here's the odd thing. Only two guys since 1960 have won the week before the Masters and then gone on to win the green jacket. Sandy Lyle in 88, Mickelson in 2006. So winning, this is not like basketball. You don't get on a run, and get hot And in golf, it's just really hard for whatever reason to go back to back. So that'll be a tough spot for Jordan, but he is all systems go right now, man. He is very confident in his game, and as he should be.
By the way, I thought we were going to see Jordy cry. Maybe he did after the round, but I thought we were going to see him cry on camera because he's been through so much, you know, and he hadn't won since 17. Now, you made JT cry, all right? You made him cry at the players. If you were interviewing Spieth, you would have made him cry.
Let me tell you something. You know what? I've been saying this to you guys for years. I've never been on Twitter. You know me. I'm an old – it's terrible. I'm a dinosaur. I've never been on social media in my life. Never been on Twitter. Never been on – nothing. None of it.
Right, right.
When I got home after the players interview, my wife's like, hey, why are they killing you on Twitter?
Right.
I'm like, I don't know, because Twitter's a cesspool. And she's like, no, they're killing you. And I'm like, why are they killing me? And he said, well, you must have made Justin cry, and then he got mad at you. I got mad at you. What are you talking about? So I didn't know that at the end of that interview, he said, dude, man, how could you do that to me? You know, like he was joking. He was just having some fun. Those were tears of joy. He wasn't angry at all. And I'm like, let me tell you something, fellas. As you guys know well, questions don't make people cry. Answers do.
Right.
So remember that.
I knew you were going to ask the. I knew you were going to bring that up about Tiger and about his grandfather. I just knew it. I mean, everyone knew it.
Well, yeah. Those are the. You've got to ask the right question. You can't be afraid to ask the right question. And you know, his grandfather meant the world to him. Justin Thomas, by the way, is another guy who you need to look at this week as a big-time favorite. But his grandfather was a PGA professional. His father, a PGA professional. His grandfather and his father taught him the game. Mm-hmm. His grandfather passed away six weeks prior. He was a massive part of his life. People don't know this because nobody really cares until something like that happens. But Justin would call him after every round, and they would talk about it. And it was a massive part of his life. So if I didn't ask him that, then that would have been...
They would have killed you for not asking. Yeah, Twitter.
It would have been negligence. Like, you've got to ask it. And, you know, it was. I just didn't know at the time that what he said and that look he gave me...
Yeah.
And he was just messing with me. And he's like, I didn't realize that was on camera.
Oh, yeah.
So when I got home, I'm telling you, man, my wife's like, I couldn't sleep if I were you tonight. They're murdering you. I'm like, wow, come on, man. It's Twitter. Who cares?
Hey, Steve, I only ask hard-hitting, intrepid golf questions, okay? So here's what I need to know. Are all of the old codgers going to freak out tonight at the Masters Club dinner when the appetizers are served? One of the appetizers that Dustin Johnson picked, and I'm a fan. I like them, but I'm white trash from PG County. Pigs in a blanket and lobster and corn fritters. Like, lobster and corn fritters sounds kind of fancy. Pigs in a blanket. Do not. Are all of the golf elitists going to turn their nose up at the pigs in a blanket tonight at the Masters dinner?
I got news for you, man. If I'm at a wedding or a bar mitzvah and I see pigs in a blanket, it's got a little spicy mustard on the side.
I crush them.
Are you kidding me? Pigs in a blanket. I can mow down about 15 or 20 of those things without even thinking about it. You know what the guys here, you know what's funny about that? So the Champions Dinner is every year on Tuesday, and the defending champion gets to pick the menu, literally from start to finish, the entire menu. They have had some of the most bizarre menus you've ever seen or heard of, and you wouldn't touch any of this stuff. So when Sandy Lyle, we talked about Lyle in 88, when Sandy Lyle won in 1988, the following year in 89, he was the defending champion, and he got to choose the menu for the Tuesday Champions Dinner. He had haggis on the menu. Now, if you've ever gone to the Open Championship and been to Scotland, you wouldn't touch haggis. You would rather literally lick the fairway from tee to green than put haggis in your mouth.
Right.
And the guys are used to it. They laugh at it. But you're right. People see the lobster, and they lose the last part of that equation. They think, oh, that's a really nice, fancy thing. And then they see the pigs in the blanket, but – you know what? The meal is inconsequential, man. Champions Dinner, that's the most difficult reservation to get in all the sports.
I'm sure it is.
That's a big one, man. It's a good night for Dustin. It's a great night for the club. It's a pretty cool tradition.
So DJ is the favorite. He's about 9-1. All right. Won it in November, obviously. I don't know if he's ever missed a cut at the Masters. You would know. I mean, he's going to be in the mix, and he hasn't played a ton of golf since the Masters. He might have played four or five tournaments this year. He hasn't played a ton, but he's got to be he's obviously the favorite, but he's got to be a kind of a lock to at least finish top 10, if not top 5.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the reason that you would say he's a lock, in quotes, to be a top 10 guy is because there are only 90 players in the field. Not a lot of guys can win. You can eliminate 40 or 50 people
already. Right.
I mean, there could be a guy coming up from off the board to win, but that person will not be in the 40 to 90 category, most likely. It's just not the way the Masters works. You get guys coming off the board, Danny Willett in 2016, Charles Schwartzel in 2011. There are a lot of guys who can come off the board, but these guys are really accomplished players. So to be in the top 10 here is a little different than being in the top 10 at other tournaments or other major championships, just because of the field size and who plays. I mean, Ben Crenshaw, and, you know, Charles Coody and Gabe Brewer and all these people, they're not playing this week, but you know what I mean, all those older guys. So
yeah.
I think Dustin knows how to get his way around this golf course. Now, here's the thing, Jace. It's a completely different place in April than it is in November.
Yeah.
November, it's soft. The weather's different. The golf course is soft and totally different than what it will play like this week. This is going to be a firm and fast week as long as the weather cooperates. The golf course is already really firm and fast. They can get it really to lightning speed if they choose to and if Mother Nature cooperates. So it'll be a different challenge for Dustin here in April. His game is not razor sharp right now. But I do think Dustin, you know, he'll wake up a little bit, and I think that at some point you'll find him somewhere on the leaderboard. I agree with you.
Steve, one of our producers with a really bad Maryland accent says he's heard that the greens are going to be running at 14 on the stimp.
Yeah, baby, they're going to listen.
Lightning.
Dustin got to 20 under par in November. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The folks here at Augusta don't like that.
They don't want it. Yeah.
They don't want anybody getting deep into the teens or 20 under par this week. And they will make sure their golf course is a little bit more of a challenge. By the way, that does not discount what Dustin did. He won it fair and square.
Yeah.
And that was the week, and that was the weather, and that was the way things were dictated in November. But this week, it will not be like that. If somebody gets deep into the teens under par or the 20 under par, then that person has played the most magnificent golf you've ever seen. This golf course is too hard this week to get that deep for you know, who knows? I mean, these guys are the best players in the world, but it's it'd be really, really strong play if you get really deep under par this week.
So the other guy we always want to talk about, certainly at the Masters, is Rory. And in November, he had that bad first round. He shot 75, ended up having a top fiver. But he's been, you know, kind of all over the place since. He's had a couple missed cuts. Missed the cut at the Players, wasn't good there. Missed the cut out in L.A. He hasn't had, you know, he hasn't really been in contention. And I know that he was blaming Bryson for the swing, and he's trying to stay with him in distance. I think that's stupid. But it is what it is. Does Rory have a shot the way he's playing?
Well, the answer would be no, because he's just not playing very well. However, this golf course is the kind of golf course that suits his game perfectly well. He just needs to get out of his own way mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have the confidence he's had coming into the past. But since he won the PGA at Valhalla outside Louisville in 2014, he's had six chances to win the career Grand Slam here at Augusta. And each and every time, Jason, he's come in here as one of the favorites, one of the guys everybody's talking about, with all that pressure. Now he's kind of flying under the radar, which is bizarre because it's Rory McIlroy. But he is kind of sneaky flying under the radar, which is a great spot for him. Now, if he plays well Thursday, all that pressure ratchets up on Friday. If he plays well Friday, puts himself in the mix Saturday, you know how that all works. But I think that Rory is in a great place personally in his life. Erica, the baby Poppy, everything's going great. Does he have the killer instinct to get here and not have his A game and turn it up a notch here at Augusta? I think he does. It's just a question of whether or not he gets off to a decent start. If he gets off to a decent start, look out. But if he does not, then I think he could get sideways in a hurry here. He's not playing his best golf. And right now, from the collarbones up, he's not nearly as confident as he has been in the past.
He's about 20 to 1 to win it. Did you see I'm sure you saw it, Bryson yesterday on the range swinging ball at, I don't know, his swing speed must have been 400 miles an hour, and VJ just kind of staring at him. I mean, he's going to have so many back problems when he's 45, 50 years old. I mean, you just can't swing that hard and stay healthy. You just can't do it. The body's not made that
way. I don't know about you, bud, but my ACL was tearing watching him swing like that and then twisting like that. It's amazing watching him do what he does. And, you know, you wonder, and this is rhetorical, I have no idea, but you wonder, is he just trying to do this and have like a Kurt Warner-type, Mark Rippon-type run of 4 or 5 years of greatness? Or is he really planning on this being the long haul and playing it as a marathon and not a sprint and thinking that he can continue to do this? Now, he's in his late 20s, his mid-20s. You know, everybody in their mid-20s and late-20s feels like they're bulletproof, but at some point it seems like he's going to run out of gas or his back's going to hurt or his knee's going to tweak or something's going to happen, but
right.
It hasn't happened yet, and he is as intriguing and as fascinating a guy to watch in all of golf, and he's got the eyes of everybody on him at all times. And you know, he's the reigning U.S. Open champion. He says a lot of things that most other golfers don't say out loud. I have no problem with Bryson at all. I think it's cool to watch him play. I just waiting for that time where his back hurts or his knee is not right. It hasn't happened yet.
I mean, look at all the injuries Tiger's had. Brooks Koepka's got, you know, 70-year-old knees. Yeah. Those guys have smooth swings, and Bryson's killing the ball. He's got nothing yet. All right, before we let you go, what's your pick?
Well, I wanted to pick Spieth before Sunday. Then he won in San Antonio. I'm going to stick with Spieth.
Wow. Okay.
His short game is magical. You don't need to hit the ball so crisply here. There is the second cut, the rough is minimal here, and he knows the angles. He knows how to hit chip and pitch around here, and clearly he's got the putter. And I like his experience. I thought Justin Thomas would win, and then I kind of saw him yesterday. Didn't seem 100% to me, but I don't know. I don't know for a fact.
Why do you say that?
I'll try to find out later. I just didn't seem razor sharp to me when I was watching him on the range, and I was talking to he and his dad and Jimmy Johnson, his caddy, those kinds of things. But if I had to bet on one guy this week, I'd bet on Spieth.
Sanzi, we got to run. We always love it. Hopefully we'll get together and have some drinks on Monty at the Starboard in Dewey. Maybe this later
100%.
This summer.
100%. Yep. 100%. Why don't we watch the Caps win another Stanley Cup? That late Stanley Cup run that goes into July, we could all be there at the Starboard.
I would
Starboard Raw. With
it could
Monty
happen.
Drinks watching the Cup get raised.
Would love to do that. Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Bye, fellas. Be good.
Yep, all right, Sandy.
He's coming to you from Augusta. Coming up next, we'll get back into last night's NCAA title game. What went so wrong for Gonzaga? Why did they get blown out by Baylor? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
This will do it. This will do it. Scott Drew's dream comes true. Coach Drew and Baylor complete college basketball's greatest rebound and rebuild with a championship.
It's Jim Nance's call last night on CBS as Baylor wins their first men's basketball championship in convincing fashion, 86-70. You had 2 1-seeds going at it in Indianapolis, and Baylor just overwhelmed Gonzaga from the outset of the game, led by as much as 19 in the first half. They were playing just super tight defense on the Zags. I don't think the Zags were able to adjust to it until it was too late. It was just too late for them once they were able to somewhat figure them out. Baylor was hot from outside, shooting three-pointers. Suggs got in some early foul trouble, which certainly didn't help Gonzaga's chances. Tough day for Drabby. He's a big Zags fan, but look, this is a really respected, very good program. I'm sure they'll be back at some point in the Final Four. They'll have another shot at it, but man, it would have been nice to cap off the undefeated season with 32-0 instead of 31-1. But give credit to Baylor. They were the better team last night. They deserved a win, and they did, and covered. I mean, if you had Baylor plus 4.5 or 5, I mean, you were never sweating that ticket ever.
Right, right.
Not for a second.
And if you had the money line at plus 170, it's a good payoff.
Yeah, it's a great
and,
payoff.
And, you know, I tried to make the point yesterday that the guards that Baylor has, okay, Suggs might be the best out of all of the guards in the game, but the three guards for Baylor as a whole were just too much for the three guards, you know, Kispert, Suggs, and Nembhard. And if you want to throw in Ayayi, they were just too much. You know, they're on you defensively. The three-point shooting was no fluke. Now, maybe hitting the six of the first seven, all right, you're just on fire, but they were the best in the country at three-point shooting percentage this year. They hit about 42% as a team, and that's just nuts. You know, their four guards all shoot about 40 to 43% from three, so that's what they do. They're just tough, you know, and Vital got 8 offensive rebounds. You know, he clearly outplayed Timmy. Timmy turned the ball over 5 times. He was uncomfortable the entire game.
And you saw the Gonzaga defenders, you know, trying to keep up with the Baylor guards on the perimeter, and that just freed up guys down low. Like at least a few times, guys were just wide open. They would dump the ball down for a layup or a dunk. And that's the price you pay when you try to defend the three as tightly as they were. You know, you leave guys open down low.
Yeah.
And they paid for it.
And they got up 18 more shots than Gonzaga. All right. Now, a lot of that's because of the turnovers, but, you know, the pace.
Offensive rebounds.
Offensive rebounds, right. And the pace of play. You know, Baylor, when they got the ball, you know, they just ran their offense. They didn't try and get into a run and shoot. And it was just one of those games where it kind of didn't matter what Gonzaga did. Baylor was just on point for 40 minutes. They just were, you know. And it also helps when you hit 10 of your 23 shots from beyond the arc.
Right.
And Gonzaga only hit 5 out of 17, so. It was just one of those games, man. I mean, Baylor was a one seed for a reason. They could have easily been undefeated if it wasn't for COVID. They lost the Kansas game because of, you know, they were out. They couldn't practice for a couple of weeks because of COVID. And then they did lose to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship. But, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, you ran into a really, really good team in the championship.
And I'm guessing that Drab did not stay up late to watch the one shining moment. Had the Zags won, of course he would have watched that.
I have no idea if that was even on.
Yeah, I mean, you're just not. That's the last thing you want to watch. Once
stared at the ceiling for a couple hours.
Right.
By the way, I watched it this morning. Okay, I got up at 4:10.
Okay.
Went downstairs. I fast-forwarded through all the pregame stuff. You know, I fast-forwarded through the commercials. Free throws, you know, most of the free throws.
Okay, smart.
I'm telling you, I watched that game in about 45 minutes. And Drabby stayed up for 3.5 hours, got to bed at 1, didn't sleep well.
Well, I mean, the excitement of it was still worth it. I'll do that 10 times.
No, look, if I was a huge Gonzaga fan or a huge Baylor fan, that's different. But
Drab told me that he couldn't sleep last night.
Yeah.
So he brought in, like, his blankie. And he slept in his car in the garage.
Oh, he did?
Did he really?
Well, it was like a 20-minute micro nap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's enough that he brought his full blanket.
It's not my blankie. It's not my whoopee.
Whatever you want to call
it. It's not the whoopee. It's
a throw.
It's a throw.
Okay.
Oh, my
Carton
God.
Carton chili, man, down in the garage.
Yeah, you're going to definitely.
Subterranean.
You're definitely going to snooze today for 2 to 3 hours. I don't know what your home situation is with the twins, but you're going to try and take a power nap.
You know what? Nobody was beating Baylor last night. I mean, Gonzaga was really just off their game, and it's very frustrating to have such a great season and end that way, but props to Baylor. I mean, they suffocated Gonzaga and sucked the life out of them in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And it was
it was 9-0 like that.
They were going to have to, Gonzaga was going to have to absolutely catch fire to get come back in that game, and they just couldn't. They couldn't even hit anything.
Mm-mm.
I just want to know. I just want to know if it hurts more to Drab, because the discussion last week was, you know, is Gonzaga considered one of the greatest college basketball teams in history?
Right, they were being compared.
Yes, they were
to Indiana of '76.
Well, and now all of a sudden you lose the game, and that. It's still a very good team, but that discussion is over.
Well, nobody would ever argue that if they don't close it out and win the whole thing.
I want to know if it hurts more because you were right there from that greatest team in history.
No, the 2017 hurt more because we got screwed in that game by the refs and we lost by like 2 points.
You know what, Drab? Mm. Actually, the Zags
you mean against
losing,
Carolina?
I don't know. Valdez, yeah. Did it hurt when the Ravens were 13-3 and Derrick Henry ran for 300 yards in a playoff game?
It's probably the same comparison.
And Lamar was throwing picks in the end zone?
Drab might not want to hear this, but the Zags losing may be a real like silver lining for him. Because had they won, Drab would have had to spend the next 20 years defending them against all the Twitter trolls who would say, well, they did it in a COVID year. They didn't play in a tough division.
You know, that's a great outlook, Cakes.
There's always next year, and you don't have to battle with all the trolls that want nothing more than just get it under your skin and tilt you to no end. I think it's actually a good thing the Zags lost, Drab. Look how I spun that for you.
You're right. It was a Mickey Mouse ring Baylor just won.
That's right. There's an asterisk by it.
There's an asterisk all over
Such
that.
An asterisk. Of
right.
course
no
there
fans.
Is.
Playing in a bubble.
Right? What does Jason say? It's a weird year.
It's a strange
toss
year.
It out.
Yeah.
Toss it out.
Yeah.
Weird year.
Drabby, just toss it out.
Never happened.
Yeah. Just right, chalk it up as a weird year.
Yeah, just, you know, celebrate your coaches versus cancer win.
Right. I looked at the numbers. They haven't scored 70 points since 2019 in the Elite Eight when they lost to Texas Tech. That's how long it's been.
Hey, Drab, losing is the new winning. That's what you go with.
In a pandemic, it is. You know what? Hey, look, we're lucky to be playing at all.
there you have it. There's the outlook, Drab. Yeah. You know what? You're bouncing back already.
Yeah,
It was a nice distraction from what's really going on in the world.
maybe Timmy can win the MOP for the Great Alaskan Shootout.
Hey, people, why does everyone always judge on their NBA potential? Why can't Drew Timmy just be a silly college basketball player? Why does everyone got to be the next NBA All-Star or you're a bum? I'm mostly referring to people just like mocking Gonzaga players.
But like JP probably does.
I don't think that you can't be compared to other players just based on your lack of NBA, you know, prowess or success. I mean, if you're a really good college player, you're just a really good, I mean, look, Christian Laettner was one of the best college players of all time. He was a so-so NBA player, if that.
He was a very mediocre pro.
Right. I don't know. I mean, you're just getting caught up in the critics. That's what you're doing. You're getting caught up in that stuff.
I'm in my feels a little bit today.
Yeah, you're in the feels. I get it.
Yeah, but you know, today's your day to process it, to work your way through it. I think tomorrow it's just a new day. You're not going to worry about the Zags tomorrow. You're going to be free and clear of it.
Well, I'd be sized for the NFL draft, but the Seahawks have about 3 picks.
And they're definitely going to pick like a guard that you barely ever heard of.
Jason, why don't you read that text message to tilt Drab a little bit?
Hold on, let me get to it.
This year was no Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, or UNC. If Gonzaga didn't get it this year, they never will.
Well, let me tell you, Gonzaga's passed all those schools by.
Oh, they have? They've lapped those schools?
This isn't mid-major Gonzaga. Why don't you look at who the number one recruit is in the country and where he's going next?
Yeah, he's going to Zaga. It's true.
I did see that.
Well, it's not confirmed.
Well, you know what?
But hopefully.
I'm sure they'll probably do okay against Pacific and St. Mary's and Pepperdine. They'll kill those teams next year.
San Francisco.
They love to bring out the small schools.
Well, let me just say this.
Huge rivalry week against BYU.
We were just talking about the, you know, being compared to the 76 team. Okay, that's what you do. That's what the media does. But the teams from some of the great teams from the late 80s, the early 90s, even the early 2000s were so much better than these teams, including Baylor, by the way. I mean, the Duke team of 01 would pummel these teams. Vegas of 91 would pummel these teams.
I like how you're doing the way back.
Even the Fab Five better than these teams.
Why do you say that? How do you know?
I don't. That's my opinion. I think that those teams were more skilled.
It's a tingle, Drab. He doesn't know. He's just
you know what Larry? You know what Larry Johnson would do to Timmy? He would slap him around so hard. I mean, he would have no shot at guarding him.
He would basically. Did you see what Gary Trent Jr. did to Howell Neto last night to hit the game winner?
No. Did they blow a 19-point lead?
Yes. They went ice cold like in the second half. Couldn't shoot. So Gary Trent gets the ball, pushes it down court, and then like when he gets near the 3-point line, he shoves Howell Neto to the ground with his offhand, and then drains a 3-pointer in the Wiz face to win it at the buzzer. Oh, it was tilting.
That's just, I mean, I'm not surprised they blew another huge lead.
No. Why would you be without Bradley Beal? I mean, they have no shot at winning games without Brad Beal.
Yeah, he misses every game. But that's just my opinion, Drabby.
Well, I mean, those guys, Fab Five was butt young. That Baylor team, those were upperclassmen.
So what? They're just, the Fab Five was probably a better team than Baylor. I would like to see them play. Fab Five in their prime against Baylor last night. I'm taking Fab Five.
I mean, Fab Five didn't even win anything.
I know, but I'm just, they played so many better teams than these teams do today.
You're just, you know? You're just an old head.
That's what it is.
I said I'm biased. I told you I'm biased. But that's my opinion. Some of those teams that didn't even win national championships, I would take them over these teams.
All right, when we come back, we're going to pivot. We're going to talk about Drab's favorite hockey team, not his favorite hoops team, the Washington Capitals, and we'll do that with Lars Eller. Center Ice with Lars Eller from the Caps is coming up next here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 9 a.m., we'll talk with our friend Dave Jagler. He is going to have the call of Nats Braves. Yes, the Nats will be in action today, 4:05 first pitch right here on 106.7 The Fan. He's got the call along with Charlie Slows. Your pregame action starts at 3:35. But joining us right now, you hear his music. It's Lars Eller, Center Ice with Lars Eller, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Absolutely the best. What's up, Lars? Good morning.
Morning, guys.
What's up?
What's going on?
Well, you're still in New York / New Jersey, still there. Been up there forever.
Yeah, good little five-game road trip up here. Hopefully we'll finish it off the right way with a win here in Long Island tonight.
Yeah, so you got the Islanders tonight.
Oh, so they are playing in Long Island, because on ESPN right here it says you guys are playing in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. That's incorrect.
Yeah, they don't play there anymore.
I was going to say, that. You know what, ESPN doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're not up to date. What do they know about hockey?
I mean, how do they not know that you guys are playing in Nassau? They think you're playing in Brooklyn. I mean, they're just stupid.
Yeah, they better start they better start getting it right here when next season starts.
Right. Well, either way, the Islanders don't lose in that building. 15-1-2. You guys got to take care of that tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good challenge for us. You know, they've been strong at home. They're a good team. You know, we should have every reason to bring our best tonight. It's going to be a great challenge for us.
So, Lars, you had the last two against the Devils, but you just faced this Islanders team a few nights ago, lost 8-4. Is there still residue from that? When you step out on the ice tonight, you're like, man, these guys really took it to us last time, put 8 goals up on us. Or is it just like clean slate? There have been 2 games since then. We don't even consider that game at this point. We're just trying to take care of business tonight.
No, I think we should have that in our minds. It was only a couple of days ago we played here last. Yeah, we played in Jersey, got away with 2 wins. But I still think that game, last game we played here, it's fresh in our minds. we don't like how that ended. We didn't like the way we played. That should affect us going into tonight. So we should be ready. We should have learned from that game and put up a lot better effort and execution than we did last time we entered that building.
You know, when you guys look at the stats that Ovi keeps putting up, he is tied now with Brett Hull for the second most power play goals in NHL history. He's climbing the ladder, and you know he's going to be top five NHL goal scorer. Like, he got poked in the face with a stick, and then 11 seconds later, he's putting the puck, you know, behind the goalie for the Devils. He's just a marvel. I'm sure that when you're older, you're going to be like, I had the privilege and pleasure of playing with this guy for X amount of years, and you're just getting to watch it unfold every night. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. We're all fortunate to be a part of that and see it on a nightly basis. And I think you can't take it for granted. I know that he's been in Washington his whole career, but the fans are very lucky to get to see him, and you know, the whole city. I don't know how long it's going to be before you're going to see a player like that again. He's it's just been amazing what he's been able to do and still doing on a nightly basis. So it's just, like you said, it's a privilege. It is.
By the way, is there a more humble and unassuming NHL star than another one of your teammates, Nick Backstrom? I mean, he's got 39 points on the season. He's got 13 goals, 26 helpers. I mean, he's skating nearly 20 minutes a night. I mean, he's just doing it all for the team, and he did a lot of that too, when guys were sidelined with the COVID protocols, kind of kept you guys afloat when some of the big stars were sidelined.
Yeah, it's been, you know, just as amazing to see him. He's just he goes about his game a little more quietly, right? But he has, you know, just as big an impact on the team with the way he contributes, and he's having a great year. He's scoring. Scoring, still making plays, still, he's still a difference maker for us. And, you know, again, like with Ovi, we're just incredibly lucky to have him.
Joined by Lars Eller from the Washington Capitals, Center Ice with Lars Eller. We're just about a week away from the trade deadline, April 12th. Do guys start getting nervous in the locker room and on the team bus? Like, hey, man, the trade deadline's coming up. Like, you just never know when your number's going to be called. And you've been traded twice, so you have experience with this. What's it like a week out from the trade deadline, you know, amongst your teammates?
Yeah, I don't think there's definitely teams where I think a lot of guys are in that situation now. You know, the guys, the teams that are, no, they're not going to make the playoffs now. I'm sure there's there's a lot of players aware of, you know, they could get dealt here in the next couple of days. So I've been on some of the on a team in that situation, and it's a little different. It's not that fun. It's a weird atmosphere the days leading up to this. Everybody's a little bit on edge, checking their phones, and packing a little extra if they're going on the road, because they don't know how long you're going to be going for, right? Or could be going for potentially. So it's kind of a weird situation. Like, I was never dealt at the deadline. I was dealt in the summer both times. So a little different for me, but I think everybody here on our team feel good about the situation we're in. The roster that we have here has put us in, you know, in a great position. I don't think we could have been in a much better place than we are right now. Top of the standings, everything considered, what we had to deal with COVID and injuries and this and that. I feel great about our team. And if there's any changes, then there's changes. It happens.
So there's only one team that scored more goals, and that's Colorado. I mean, there's no one in the East as explosive as your team right now. So I'm just kind of following up on what you just said. You guys have played 38 games, so what, there's 18 games left? Do you feel like right now, the way you're playing, you're good enough right now to win a cup, or do you think you still have to get better as you head towards the playoffs?
I think we have all the, you know, the ingredients in our roster. I think we have all the assets to make to be good enough to win. I really truly believe that. I think we have depth in defense. We have depth. We have two goalies that is playing well all season for us. We know we have guys up front that can put out goals. So I really like our team. If nothing happens, I think we're in a good position. If something does, then we're probably going to be, even better. So I really like our team right now.
Lars, you mentioned the goalies. There's been basically a 50-50 split over the last 10 games between Vitek and Ilya. So it seems like not only you but the coaching staff, they're confident. We had Coach Laviolette on a couple days ago, and he said, look, I like having both guys ready to go, and there's no real big drop-off in talent, it seems, between the two goalies you have up right now.
Yeah, it's very good problem for a coach to have to have two goalies that are playing equally well at this point. You can throw both of them in, and they're both capable of winning games and playing sort of a starter position, right? Playing several games in a row. So it's we're fortunate to have them both. It's been great to see them, develop this season and chip in. They've been, crucial for us in a lot of games, and I have every reason to believe they can continue to get it done for us going forward.
Lars, best of luck tonight on the island. Don't go to Brooklyn, like Jason said.
Yep.
Go to Nassau Coliseum where the game is
You'll
actually
be a DNP.
Happening.
You'll be a DNP if you go to Brooklyn.
So best of luck tonight. We'll talk to you again next week, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bro.
That's Lars Eller from your Washington Capitals.
Cakes.
Yes.
Do the Caps beat the Islanders and give them their second regulation loss at home tonight?
Caps win. Caps win.
The Jinxie Cat. You're the Jinxie Cat.
I could be the Jinxie Cap for the Caps. Right, tonight, but hopefully they get that win on the island, which has been tough to do. When we come back, it is opening day, Jason. It's opening day here in D.C. The Nats are taking the field later today. 4:05 is the first pitch. Your pregame coverage starts at 3:35 right here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll hear from Dave Jagler, one of the voices of the Washington Nationals, next here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.